Sunday, 8th of February, Yud Dalet Shvat, Kala Rufal Gedi, Tug Shvat.
Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim. The four Rosh Hashanahs, Bechad B'Nissan, Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, L'Ragalim, Bechad B'Elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema, L'Ezer Rabbi Shimon Haimim, Bechad B'Tishri, Bechad B'Tishri Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, L'Shvitim, L'Yoyblis, L'Antiyev, L'Yerokais, Bechad B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan. Bechad B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan. The first mission Rosh Hashanah discusses how many different types of Rosh Hashanah are there. And one of the Rosh Hashanahs is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Kidiber Beishamai, this is the way Beishamai understands it, Bechad B'Shvat. Be'Siloimim B'Chamish Asa B'Shvat. B'Chamish Asa Boy, which is the 15th, which is tonight. These four Rosh Hashanahs are not Rosh Hashanahs, which we B'Yin Shalim is Dan. That's the next Mishnah, Ba'abar Prokham Oilem Nidoin, Ba'Pesach Latvur, Ba'Tes Peiris Ha'ilon, so on and so forth. These are Rosh Hashanahs, these are different time frames, these are different times when things begin and things end. We want to know how long a king was a king for. So we have a Cheshbon. If he became a king in a certain month, that's when his kingdom has begun. The Gabesh Doris, it's Negea. Rosh Hashanah L'Shmitim, L'Yoyblis, when exactly does it begin, when does it end? And Be'echad B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan, and according to Beis Hillel, when is Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos is B'Chamisha Asaboy, is on the 15th. B'negeya to what? B'negeya to which halacha is this called Rosh Hashanah? The Mepharshim Umavaya, the Mepharshim explain that this is for Maisa Peiris, that we give Maisa from the Peiris, and we have to know when is the beginning of the year for this Maisa for the Peiris. So there's Machlekes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, when does the year begin to start counting the Maisa for the Peiris? Is this the first day of Shabbat or is this the 15th of Shabbat? It's also Negev, the Mepharshim explained, for Arlof and Netter Avai, the first 3 years you can use the fruit from a fruit tree in the fourth year we also can use. So you have to make a cheshbon, when is the beginning of the year, when is the end of the fourth year, the third year, so on and so forth, benegeya to these halachas of Arla and Netter Avai and Maisa and so on. In halacha it's brought down that this time Tu B'Shvat, which we pass on obviously like Beis Hillel, this time Tu B'Shvat is this man where the place can bring down, we do not say Tachnon, we don't even say Tachnon the day beforehand. If for Mincha the day beforehand, if Tu B'Shvat we fall out in Shabbos, we don't say Tzchascha. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down the minigis by Ashkenazim, what they do is they have different sorts of Peiris, and they say the Shea Malasim before the Peiris. I saw last night in the Paiskim, the Sfaradim are even more machmir, and what they do is, before they eat the different types of Peiris, they learn different sorts of Limudim. It's not only a question of saying Tehillim, it's a question of giving more, learning more, and dedicating more, because of Tu B'Shvat. If there's a Tanis, if Chazal would go to Tanis, whatever reason on his time, whatever tzara there is, and it fell out on Chamisha Asa B'Shvat, so a matcha the Tanis, we don't fast on this time, and the shaila is why? Why? What's so special about Shiva Asa Baba Chamisha Tu B'Shvat, Chamisha Asa B'Shvat? And it seems to be very clearly, whenever we don't say Tachnun, and whenever there is no Tzchascha Tzedek, and whenever we push off the Tanis, obviously the reason is because of the Gevaldige Simcha. And whenever there's a Simcha, so this is the time where we don't say Tachnun, we don't say Tzchascha Tzedek, and so on and so forth. And the question is, what is the Simcha with Tu B'Shvat? What is the Gevaltike Simcha? Why are we so excited? What is so special? What has happened on Chamisha Asa B'Shvat? Not only that we find this is the only Rosh Hashanah from the four Rosh Hashanahs that the Mishnah enumerates. This is the only Rosh Hashanah that we don't say Tachnun, we don't say Tzchascha Tzedek, and we push up the Tanis. Means to say is that this Rosh Hashanah is more than any other Rosh Hashanah, and it would appear that they're very similar, because the other Rosh Hashanahs are also Lashvitim v'layovel, also for the dinim of the Tvua, also the dinim for the Peiros. But yet there doesn't seem to be any halachic nafkamina when it comes to the other three Rosh Hashanahs. It's only this Rosh Hashanah of Chamesh Asar Bishvat, of Tu Bishvat, where there seems to be some gewaltige simcha that warrants us not to say and not to do the things that we do b'yayim simcha. What is this simcha? What is this excitement? What is this happiness that we have today? And I think to understand the essence and to understand the avodah of Chamesh Asar Bishvat, I think we have to understand a whole inyan, something which, I'll be honest with you, Meir Beim, I remember in Panovich, tried to imbue in us and try to give over to us and try to inject in us day in, day out. And I hope that we're matzliach. And I feel that this nakuda is a nakuda that could very, very easily and should change our outlook and change our attitude to life. There are so many limudim and so many maisim and so many sagas that have taken place in Sefer Bereishis, Shemois, Bamidbar, and Devarim that we have to learn from, and the Gedolei Rishonim bring out to us of how you and I should behave. How you and I should behave. From the beginning of the Bris Olam till Mises Moshe Rabbeinu, every pasuk is laden with different messages and different limudim that you and I have to learn from and change the way we approach things. The shaila is, however, there's a debate in the Mefarshim whether the Avos HaKadoshim were Yidden Bechlal or not. The Pashat Rochim compiled the whole Sefer trying to understand whether the Avos HaKadoshim were Yidden or were not Yidden. Koidim Matan Torah, Tzlesman Depalik, everybody knows and everybody is aware that they kept Tariq Mitzvahs, Im Lovin Garti, Tariq Mitzvah Shemarti. But the question is, were they Yidden or were they Goyim? And that's dealing with the Avos HaKadoshim. But when it comes to Noach, and when it comes to Chanoich, and when it comes to those that were prior to the Avos, there doesn't seem to be too much of a debate, and everybody's masking that they were Goyim. And the shaila is that when we are dealing with Musogim of people which come were Yidden, how do we take out from their Maisim, and how do we learn from their Maisim how you and I should behave? This is a different world. This was a world before Matan Torah. This was a world before there were Chiyuvim. This was a world before there were Chiyuvim Rabbanon. This was a world before Takanos. This was a whole different atmosphere. Not only that, but these people were Kedoshim way beyond our comprehension. Way beyond. I found the Medrash in the end of Vayechi, which says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Chatzi Adam and Chatzi Malach. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even a regular human being. So even though the Rambam tells us that everybody can grow up and everybody can become like Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Medrash is very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a regular human being. He was born Chatzi Adam, Chatzi Malach. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house was lit up, the whole house shined because of the gadlus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Forget about there was Noilad Mal, forget about all the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, but his whole mohus, his whole essence, his whole being was a different mohus. He was a different person. And the shaila is that all the things that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, and Aaron did, you and I have to learn from them, and you and I have to emulate them, but they were different people. So how can the Ribbono Shel Olam expect from us? And how do we relate and how do we adapt to what the Avos HaKadoshim did? Not only that, that we see that the Avos HaKadoshim were penalized for very, very subtle nekudas, very, very dakas dikas nekudas. It says in the beginning of Shemai, Vayidabe Hashem HaMoshe, says Rashi, Vayidabe Hashem HaMoshe, Vayidabe is a Lashon Kosher. Vayidabe is an expression of harshness, it's an expression, the Rebbein Shem came down, Kaviyachal hard, and Moshe Rabbeinu Vayidabe, says Rashi, why did Rebbein Shem come down hard? Why did he say Vayayma Hashem HaMoshe? Says Rashi, you know why it doesn't say Vayayma? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lama HaRoifah, somewhere there. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, since you sent me, Klal Yisrael has been in a whole different matter of Klal Yisrael, and now the Mitzvim have pounded on Klal Yisrael, they've come down tough on Klal Yisrael, life is much more miserable for Klal Yisrael. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe I shouldn't be the leader, maybe I shouldn't take them out of Mitzrayim. And the Rabbi Shalom says, how could you say such a thing? How could you say such a thing? Vayidabe Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Dibei Alav, Dvarim Kosher, Kodesh Baruch Hu, came down on Moshe Rabbeinu Had. And all the Mepharshim are grappling with this. What do you mean he came down on Moshe Rabbeinu Had? Moshe Rabbeinu was the barrister. Moshe Rabbeinu was the attorney. Moshe Rabbeinu was the representative of Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was there to help out Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu came to Rebbeinu Shem, you asked me to do something, and I'm making life more difficult. Maybe what I'm doing is wrong. What's wrong with what Moshe Rabbeinu said? Where did he go wrong? And all the Mepharshim are saying, Lama Reisos Mazeh, as Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have said. Why? What should he have said? And it seems to be because Moshe Rabbeinu used the terminology of Lama HaRoisos Mazeh, why did you make it bad for these people? And I saw the Mepharshim say the Chas V'Shalom HaTshmochu doesn't make it bad. Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, why is it hard for these people? So because Moshe Rabbeinu used the word, instead of saying the word hard, he used the word bad, so Moshe Rabbeinu came down heavy on Moshe Rabbeinu. So what should we learn from that? The Rahman Tzlan, if we go through a difficult school and say, oh, what a bad day. No. You don't have to say a bad day. Yep. What should we learn from that? What should we get from that? Yaakov Avinu went through a miserable, miserable, wretched life. A brother, not only a brother, but a twin brother is there trying to kill him when they were youngsters. Literally trying to kill him. Yikravu, you may able of me. I'll wait till my father dies and then I'm going to come, I'm going to kill him. He has to run away and he never saw his father again, never saw his mother again. His father wasn't by his chasna, his mother wasn't by his chasna. All because I have one brother who wants to kill me, literally kill me. How aggravating. How sad it is that a brother can't go to chuppah with parents because I've got one brother, Meshuggah. But then he finally gets married, finally finds his zivug, and his shver cheats him. He gives him the wrong wife. And he finally settles down with the right wife, and Nebuchadnezzar's wife doesn't have children. She doesn't have children. Finally, finally, she has one child, then she has another child, she dies at childbirth. And then the children he does have, one child is abducted, and another child is lost for 22 years. And he mentioned the word when he met Paroi, he says to Paroi, Ma'at Meroi, my days were few, and they were bad, they were tough years. 33 years, he lost 33 years. Avraham Avinu was 135, he was 180, and he should have lived till 180, he lost 33 years, because I mentioned words which alluded to not being happy with... How can you be happy with your life? Life was a shver life. I was alive with Hashem. I did exactly what you asked me to do. But I'm not allowed to complain. So what do we learn from here? That a person not allowed to complain. When all these terrible sorrows are going on, a person's not allowed to say, oi, what a tough day. This was a rough day. Oi, this was shver. No, can't say it. Yaakov, you said lost 33 years. The shining ray is that every little nuance and every little act that was done in the Torah, we see Tsar, we see Oynish, we see repercussions, we see how the Rebbeinu Shalom deals with these situations. And the shadi is, what are you and I supposed to get out of this? So when we come back from work and Rahman son, the stock market crashes, and say, oh, what a gewaldig day, ah, Baruch Hashem, we come on, so excited, made off, I love you, you're unbelievable. What should I say? What should I do? Yaakov Avinu mentioned something, 33 years he lost. And I'm sure you're all familiar that he never even said enough words which warranted the 33 years, but the fact that he looked pained. And Paroi had the audacity to ask a patriarch like Yaakov Avinu, how old are you? Nobody asks you how old are you when you're seven. Somebody says to you, Sheikh, how old are you? Somebody walks into the president, somebody walks to the prime minister, and he's 60 years old. Good morning, sir. How old are you? That's not a question you ask, but the Mepharshim seemed to say that he looked so haggard that Paroi had to ask him, what sort of age are you? You look prehistoric almost. What sort of age are you? And he was damned for that, because he shouldn't have even looked full of anguish. You should have looked calm and serene after your daughter's abducted, and after your son is lost, and after your brother's trying to kill you, and after you never saw your parents again. I'm supposed to look just wonderful, wonderful, life's just wonderful, exciting, and I'm all rested up. And the shadow is, what do you and I learn from these parashas? What are you and I supposed to get out of this? How are we supposed to live our lives looking at Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And I just mentioned a little nekuda which we haven't even scratched the surface. And I remember Rav Shach told us many, many times in yeshiva. Many times in yeshiva. And when I say many times, it could have been once a month. He just kept pushing this point. And he told us, the pasuk, Zeh Sefer Torah Adam. In Bereishis, Zeh Sefer Torah Adam. The Rashi learns, Zeh Sefer Torah Adam means to say is, this is the sort of like the generations of mankind, and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created the world and created mankind and Chava, children and animals and the creatures, Zeh Sefer Torah Adam, this is the life, and this is the story of the Bria Olam. But the Ramban adds in a few more words. And the Ramban says, "There Sefer Torah Adam, ki kol haTorah kulo Sefer Torah Adam." The whole Torah is the blueprint. The whole Torah. And that's not referring to Bereishis. It's not referring to the beginning Bereishis. The whole Torah is a blueprint, is a roadmap, is a manual for the way you and I should live. There Sefer Torah kol haAdam. And Rav Shach explained that what we and you and I have to derive, and you and I have to get out of the parashas and the Torah, is sensitivity. Sensitivity. Each on their own darga and each on their own madrega. And we have to see how the Ribbono Shel Olam penalized the Avos HaKadosh. We have to see how the Ribbono Shel Olam penalized the Emois HaKadosh for what they said and what they did, and for an attitude, not that we should emulate them in their, when what exactly they did, because we're not living their life, but we're not in their predicament, we're not in their surrounding. But what you and I have to learn is the yesh din v'yesh dayin, and every little nuance and every little nekuda that we do, we are responsible. And punkt azoy, just like Yaakov Avinu, in our eyes it seems he did nothing wrong. But we have to see, no, there's a way how to talk, and there's an attitude, and there's a way how we have to appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam. And unless we're going to appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam in totality, we have to a certain degree failed. The way we appreciate our spouses, the way we appreciate our children, the way we appreciate our parents, the way we appreciate our in-laws, there's a certain attitude to everything that takes place in life. And we have to learn from Noach and Adam HaRishon, Avraham, Yisrael, Yaakov, and the Emois, and the Shvatim, that they were judged Kuchut HaSaira. You and I too are judged Kuchut HaSaira Lefi our Madrega. And depending on our Tchunat HaNefesh, and depending on our Koichel, that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam judges you and I. Zeh Sefer Torah Kol Adam, that you and I have to be sensitive, that we, the Ribbono Shel Olam, looks at us and says, the way you approached your Rav, and the way you spoke about your Rav, forget about Lashon Hara, forget about Rechilus, let's say everything was 100% intact, everything was kosher. But there's a fifth chelik in Shulchan Aruch. And that fifth chelik is our attitude and our sensitivity towards what is happening. And we have to learn from Sefer Bereishis, Shemayi, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, tremendous sensitivities. And an approach and an attitude to what's taking place in life. And that is a lesson from all these different sagas, and that is a lesson from all these different things that have happened in life. Let me just mention one little nekuda, which is kedai for us to know. There is a medrash in Parshas Nasai. If my memory serves me correctly, it's a medrash in Parshas Nasai to Rashi in Perek Lamed Aleph in Mishlei, the last Perek in Mishlei. And we cannot talk like this, but the Medrash says these words, and I'm going to reiterate what the Medrash says. The Shlomo HaMelech went to build the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash we have. Those of you who learn Malachim, you see the intricate detail of how Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, after all the years of building the Beis HaMikdash, he built this Beis HaMikdash, and the day was ready for the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo HaMelech the day beforehand married Bat Paroi. Married Bat Paroi. What was Shlomo HaMelech's schedule marrying Bat Paroi? Shlomo HaMelech, who's a Navi, where the Rambam says one of the ingredients, one of the criteria of being a Navi is Ein Yitzhoi Misgabal of Klal, that a person has no Netiyahs, a person isn't overcome by the Yitzhah Horror, they are totally in control of their emotions, of their tithes. What was Shlomo HaMelech's cheshbon to marry Bat Paroi, says the Malbim, because he wanted to spread the Dvar Hashem, he wanted to be Mekadoshim Shemayim, and he knew very well that Mitzrayim was full of Avodah Zarah, and he knew that the way, the key to get into Mitzrayim was to marry Bat Paroi. If I marry Bat Paroi, I'll be able to spread the Dvar Hashem. And he made a chasna. He made a chasna the day before the Chanukah's Beit HaMikdash. And the Medrash says, and Rashi says, the Gemara says, the Sanhedrin, there were 1,000 musicians. I didn't know there were 1,000 instruments, but there were 1,000 musicians. And they were playing tremendous music. And the Ribbono Shel Olam saw what was going on. And Shlomo HaMelech's whole kavana was to be Mekadoshim Shemayim. Shlomo HaMelech's whole kavana was to do mitzvahs. And the Ribbono Shel Olam saw what was going on. He sent down Malach Gabriel. And Malach Gabriel came down to the Mediterranean, says the Medrash, and he put a stick into the Mediterranean, and the mud swirled around the stick, and from there became Rome. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Rabbi said it's the Lashon HaMedrash, Rosh Ha'ata, Rosh Ha'ata, because you made music which was more jubilant, which was more exciting than the music that is going to be used tomorrow in the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, from there on, what am I going to do? I'm going to bring a mokum where from this mokum is going to be the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Pillar ply, pillar ply. He made chasna. He was a Kaddishim Shemayim. He did a mitzvah. But there was something over there which was, in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, insensitive of Shlomo HaMelech. Insensitive of Shlomo HaMelech. The Ribbono Shel Olam demanded for Shlomo HaMelech that your chasna has to be a little less than the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is more important than your chasna. But you see how harsh the punishment is. You see how harsh the Ribbono Shel Olam with Dan Shlomo HaMelech. Obviously this is indicative of Shlomo HaMelech's gadlus and his gevura. But what you and I see from here so clearly is how sometimes we think we can do something which is mamash a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. I'm a kaddishim shemayim. I'm doing the mitzvah puravu. I'm getting married. I'm doing what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do. I'm spreading the Dvar Hashem. But there can be something which is nishayitzkahal. There can be something which is wrong. And this needs Eon, this needs Manhigim, this needs Rabbonim, this needs people who are sensitive, this needs people who understand the human nature, from where exactly we are going and what exactly we are doing. Hoyaikiv Tishmu'un, as Baruch Hu says, I'll give you all the brachas, I'll give you everything, I'll give you riches, I'll give you children, I'll give you happiness, if what? If you keep my mitzvahs, says Rashi, which mitzvahs? If you dosh ba'kevav. And all the Mepharshim want to know, what are these mitzvahs which were dosh ba'kevav? We're so makbid on talking that, and we're so makbid on Lashon Hara, we're so makbid on Rechilas, and the Machzor Lefi, and all that talk between 2 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 9 and 7, and you know how to do this, and we're giving stocker, and we're makbid on Shabbos, and we have kashrus and sneers. What do we do wrong? What do we do wrong? Which mitzvahs are we dosh ba'kevav? Lech mission we have. What are we dosh ba'kevav? I remember one of my rabbeim taught me dosh ba'kevav is this fifth chelik in Shulchan Aruch. That sometimes there are halachas for shtiklus in Shulchan Aruch. There's no Shulchan Aruch, but it's something a person has to understand. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. It's a sensitivity that you and I have to have. It's a sensitivity that you and I must develop. And we must think about before we do something. Is this the Rotsan Habayra? Is this making Ribbono Shel Olam happy? Is this making Ribbono Shel Olam proud? Is this what Ribbono Shel Olam wants? And if not, we're not doing the Rotsan Habayra. And just like we're not keeping Shabbos, we're not doing the Rotsan Habayra. This too, we're not doing the Rotsan Habayra. And those are mitzvahs which were dosh ba'kevav. We're dosh ba'kevav because you open up a Mishabura, you open up a Shulchan Aruch, it's not there. But it's something that we have to develop. It's a sensitivity that you and I have to have. If we don't have it, it doesn't work. And I just would like to relate to you one little story before I explain the meaning of this Mishnah. I was in San Diego for Tisha B'Av this year. And I was sitting next to a Yid, which I don't know his name, I don't know anything. It was the first time I walked into that shul. And I sat next to this Yid, which must have been, I would imagine 8 years old. Alter Yid. Alter Yid.
My apologies.
And we were doing the kinnis. I don't know about you, I find kinnis very difficult. The taich is very difficult, and even when you master the taich, but the flow is very difficult. And then the Beis Hamikdash happened a couple thousand years ago. To get emotionally involved with the Beis Hamikdash, you need tremendous kirkus and nefesh. And I try my best, and I'm saying the kinnis, and I feel I can taich a little bit. We all know that sort of gemalchus, everybody can get a little emotional because you can relate to it a little, and you can translate it a little, but Venus feel might have something with the Beis Hamikdash. It's there because one of the Tzaras Klal Yisrael went through, and I see the seed next to me, and from the beginning to end, I think he's just crying. And I went up to him after davening, I tapped his shoulder and I introduced myself, and what's your name? He told me his name. And I said, hey, you were very, very inspiring. I said, perhaps you can teach me how to cry on Tisha B'Av. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he says to me, come to my apartment. And I knew from then on I was in for it. And I came into his apartment, and he sat me down, and he told me like this. My boy, he told me like this. He says, when I was 16 years old, he says, we were drafted into a camp. I never heard of this. A camp called Buna Auschwitz. Buna Auschwitz, excuse my ignorance, but I can see you know. So Buna Auschwitz was a camp which was in the town of Auschwitz, but it was before they had erected the death camp, and it was a working camp. It was a working camp. And he told me that they came around with trucks to his home. He told me he lived a kilometer and a half away from this camp, and he said they pulled him out of the house and they took him to this camp, and he had to work there. He said the work was impossible. The conditions were impossible. But he said this was a war, and this is what they were up against. He said he came to Erev Shabbos. And he said to his comrades who were from his cheder, from his school, he said to his comrades, he says, I want very much to go home. So they said, what do you mean go home? How can you go home? So he says, I know where my parents live, and I want to escape, and I want to go home. So they said, what do you mean? If you're caught, you're going to get shot. So he said, it's Erev Shabbos. And he said, I'm not coming into Shabbos without a shower. I'm not coming into Shabbos without a shower. So his friend said, his name is Yitzi Flasser. He said, Yitzi, he's in Tamashugana. You're going to go home for a shower? How can you go home for a shower? Because I have to go home for a shower. He says, I'm not coming into Shabbos without a shower for Shabbos. He told me personally, he said he managed to escape, and he came home. His parents said, what are you doing home? And they wanted to right away bring him back. They were scared for his life. And he says, Abba Ima, he says, Tati Mami, he says, Kani Shahim, I'm not going back till I have a shower. And he took a shower and he came back. He said, the next morning, Shabbos morning, he says, they made a call up, and they called him out, and they said, Yitzi, Isaac, whatever they called him, he said, where were you last night? And he admitted, he said, I ran home, he said, I want to bathe myself before Saturday, before our Shabbos. And he said, they stripped him to the waist, he said, they tied him to a pole, and he said, they flogged me. 70 beatings he got in front of everybody. And he was very dramatic when he was telling this to me, but he said to me, I did this for 7 months. 7 months. And he says, you don't believe me, do you? I said, no, I do believe you. Why shouldn't I believe you? And he started to undress. He took off his shirt. He took off his tzitzis. And it was impossible to look. How mangled and how horrible he looked from all these beatings. And I was very, very touched. And I said to him, can I repeat the story to somebody else? He says, you can repeat somebody else. And he went to his closet. He took out a little piece of paper and he said, I'll tell you exactly how many beatings I had. He had a cheshbon. How many beatings he had. It was like 2,700 odd beatings. And I said to him, can I see this piece of paper? And I saw it was very smudged piece of paper, and it had lines this way. And I said, can I photostat this piece of paper? Because I want to take it back with me, and I want to show people how people are moisa nefesh for nuances, how people are moisa nefesh for sensitivities. And he says, no. And I said, why not? He said, take a close look at the piece of paper. And I looked at the piece of paper. The truth of the matter is, I didn't understand why the lines were so broad.
and why the lines were so wide. It was a long piece of paper. He said, you think I had a pen? You think I had a pen to mark it down? He said, this is blood. He said, I used to dip my finger in and I used to make marks on a piece of paper. And he said, it's a little gruesome, so he said, I'd rather you not take it. And I said to myself, right there and then, look at the yid, look at the yid. A bocha yeshiva bocha. Today you have to fight with your children to take a shower. Look at the yid who is in a camp, who put his life on the line in order to be mekadeshim shemayim. And I said, Rabbi Yitzchok, where did you take such a concept from? How do you know how to do this? What happened to all the others? So he said, open the Chumash. I said, the Avos didn't live like this, the Mois didn't live like this, the Shvatim didn't live like this. He says, my tafkid is, and I'll tell to you, he said, my tafkid is to do the Rostlin Habayra no more, no less. And he was holding his Chumash and he says, Das verlangt the Ribbono Shalom. This is what the Ribbono Shalom is demanding from us, and this is what the Ribbono Shalom wants us to see in the Chamushe Chumshe Torah, how sensitive we have to be to the Ribbono Shalom. And he said, from that day on, he said, from the very first time I got a beating, he says, I knew deep in my heart that I'm going to survive. And he says, none of my chaverim survived. He said, but I'm married, and I have children, I have grandchildren, I have great-grandchildren. And he said, it's all because v'hoyei kev tishmu, and he says, I was medactic not to tread on those sensitivities. And the Rebbe Shem kept his promise that I'll do what I'll do, and he'll do what he'll do. He says, that's why I'm here today. I'm going over time. The bottom line is, we have Rosh Hashanah Leilonis. What is this Rosh Hashanah Leilonis? What is it all about? The Mepharshim teaches this Rosh Hashanah Leilonis is giving Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Peiros Shenishtabchu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshabeach Eretz Yisrael. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk about Eretz Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshabeach Eretz Yisrael with these sort of Peiros, with the Shivas Haminim. That's how the Ribbon Kodalamim is giving Shevach to Eretz Yisrael. It's not the mountains, it's not the buildings, it's not the economy, it's the Peiros. And these Peiros start budding now. These Peiros start growing right now. And it's no coincidence that the Mishnah tells us that when do you and I have to start counting the year for Ilanos? When these Peiros begin budding, when these Peiros begin their journey into life, the beginning of their fruition, the beginning of their existence. And these Peiros are not regular Peiros, this is not Yerokos. The beginning of the Mishnah talks about Yerokos. These Peiros are the Peiros of Shtabchu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eretz Yisrael. These Peiros are the Peiros that Baruch Hu says, this is the Gadolus of Eretz Yisrael. And this is a time for Gevaldik Simcha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these Peiros. And this is, so to speak, the crown jewel of Eretz Yisrael. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu found it important to be Meshaveich Eretz Yisrael because of these Peiros, can you imagine what this really means? And when we see and we hear about Peiros beginning to grow, you and I have to stop and think, what does this mean to us? Look what the Ribbono Shel has done for us. Look what the Ribbono Shel is bringing into the world. Look how the Ribbono Shel Olam is bringing Emet Hashem, the beginning of the Geula. And we have to chap onto these nuances, and we have to chap onto these sensitivities, and we have to chap on to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us. We have to be makitoiv for these little saplings, for these little trees which are beginning to give these peiros. And that's the Gevaldik time for Simcha. We are harried, we're busy, we're tarot. There's so many things going on in our lives. But this is a time to stop, and this is a time to think. And this is a time to internalize the Gevaltika Chasad and the Gwen Shem giving us. It's not just a question of eating fruits and seeing Shem Malice and learning something. It's a time to appreciate what the Gwen Shem has done for us. Baruch Hashem, there's nobody in this room who doesn't have what to thank the Gwen Shem. And when we thank the Gwen Shem, we realize what he's giving us. This creates a Gevaltika Simcha. And that's why it's a Tachma. And that's why it's not Tzchos Kotzedek, and that's why it's the times we push it off. May Rebbe Shem help us all that we should be and have this Yat Yishmaya, to be sensitive, to realize the Gavos HaBeira, and that way Rebbe Shem will give us much more.
Amen.